This is the CSIS Global Health Interview Series at www.smartglobalhealth.org. I'm joined today by both Ambassador Eric Goosby and Ambassador Mark Dybul. Ambassador Goosby serves as a U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator, and Ambassador Dybul served as the former U.S. Global AIDS Coordinator and is now the co-director of the O'Neill Institute for National and Global Health Law at Georgetown University. Thank you both so much for being with us today.
It's a pleasure.
So as two individuals who have led, and in your case, Ambassador Dybul, implemented the U.S. government's international AIDS response, what do you consider PEPFAR's greatest achievement, and where do you see PEPFAR in the next 5 years?
Well, that's a very good question. I think that the greatest achievement, perhaps, is the lesson that we can pull from the success that PEPFAR demonstrates, that a vertical program focused on one disease can be resourced to create a medical delivery system that creates a platform off of which a very complicated disease can be cared for successfully in very resource-poor settings. I think it's a game-changer for how we do global health.
And Ambassador Dybul?
I agree completely with that. I mean, its biggest impact is saving millions of lives, but it did it by changing the way things have been done in the past and in a new direction. And it's the, people tend to forget, it's the first time, which relates to what Ambassador Goosby was talking about, it's the first time in the history of development of global health that a chronic disease was tackled. And HIV prevention is chronic too. It's not a vaccine. People go in and out of risk for their entire lives, and that's a chronic approach. Treatment and care are absolutely chronic, and we've never done that before. And one of the two fundamental pieces of that are what Ambassador Goosby talked about. First, it shattered this horrific myth that Africa wasn't capable of something as complicated as chronic care management. But secondly, it provides a platform from which other chronic care and other services can be provided in a way that no one thought was possible 10 years ago. And it was all focused on countries leading the response because you can't do chronic care and can't do national scale up. It was focused on results. It was focused on all parts of society being involved, not just governments. So as Ambassador Goosby said, it changed the way development, global health was done and set a platform to change things for the future with the very important benefit of saving millions and millions of lives.
And what do you see going ahead as some of the biggest opportunities and challenges in the global fight against HIV/AIDS? Ambassador Goosby.
Well, I think that the challenge is to hold the course, expand our ability to ensure that these services that we've created with PEPFAR are sustained, that the ability to manage, oversee, monitor, and evaluate these programs is transferred and embedded in the country leadership, the partner countries in which we work, and that our platforms that are created be receptive to being available to add other services on top of an HIV/AIDS platform, HIV/TB, that the real, I think, fruition of that foundational support that PEPFAR presents is that further expansion of the service portfolio that the HIV-positive people who are currently in these programs will also need.
And Ambassador Dybul.
Again, Eric and I tend to agree on almost everything, so I agree completely with that. And, I think an undercurrent to that is remaining optimistic. What happens over time is people start focusing on the problems, which is appropriate because there are many, many, many challenges. Implementation is very complicated. These are very long-term chronic care delivery. But at the same time, science continues to advance, and science is at the point now where we have technologies that would allow us to completely control the epidemic. In fact, by scientific criteria, end the epidemic. And the challenge is to allow that to happen, to put the work into the political will, the public health strategies, the resources that are needed, not from the United States, but as a collective approach. And the Obama administration always talks about shared responsibility and that the need that we all need to come together for that. And that's what this meeting in many ways is about. An example where it's positively working is something called Pink Ribbon, Red Ribbon, where the Obama administration with the Bush George W. Bush Institute, UNAIDS, Susan G. Komen for the Cure, and a whole slew of private sector corporations have come together to build off the platform that had begun in small pieces in the Bush administration that Eric had already expanded to address cervical cancer among HIV-positive women in sub-Saharan Africa, which is the leading cause of cancer death there, largely because of HIV/AIDS. And so the platform that was built for chronic care delivery for HIV is now being utilized in a partnership across administrations to address another chronic killer, cervical cancer, and to begin to address breast cancer. So I think it's a really positive example. So we should look at the challenges and be just sober and methodical about addressing them. And I have to give a lot of credit to Eric and his team for doing that over the last couple of years in a really impressive way. But then also say that gives us openings, that gives us opportunities.
Mm-hmm. And with the International AIDS Conference coming to Washington, D.C. tomorrow, July 22nd, what do you expect to come out of the conference? What do you hope the world takes from this historic event? We'll start with you, Ambassador Dybul.
Well, it is an historic event. And again, I think it's another great example of cross-administration bipartisanship. Under reauthorization of PEPFAR and President Bush, we began the process to lift the travel ban, and President Obama completed that process. And he actually put it that way when he signed the legislation. Another great example of the strong bipartisanship, continuation, evolution, expansion of things. To me, what could come out of this and what is most out of this is, you know, there are a lot of problems and there are a lot of individual things, but if we can all set those aside and look to the fact that science has given us the tools to end the epidemic. And again, that doesn't mean eliminate HIV. It means driving the epidemic down to a controllable point, treating the people who have the infection, but preventing massive numbers. And I don't want to get into the specific scientific percents because that's not necessary, but it's basically to completely control the epidemic. If we walk out of here united as a community behind that goal to end the epidemic, which President Obama and Secretary Clinton have charged us to with the AIDS-free generation, and ending the epidemic is a step on that course, an important step on that course. If we come out of here with that and we get behind that, I think we can regalvanize the energy, we can regalvanize the interest, we can push towards that. And one of the main reasons we can is because the countries most affected in Africa, the leadership there is stepping up and wanting to respond and taking leadership for it. So if we come out with that message, I think this will be a huge success.
Well, I would violently agree with Ambassador Dybul on that one. And I think another example of bipartisan vision, a passing of a baton to carry it forward, has been reflected in the history of HIV across many administrations. I think the shared responsibility that a retooling and a recommitment to the end game is in sight. And if we can reinvigorate the participants in the meeting to be recharged with that goal, we can carry this further. I think that the biggest ingredient to that that lightens our load and makes it more likely that we'll be successful is the fact that partner countries are truly stepping up in a way that they hadn't before. And it is gratifying to see that as the central fulcrum that will converge the divergent resources across PEPFAR, Global Fund, partner countries' resources, other foundations, other bilateral programs, moving World Bank, WHO, and UN resources, so they're all additive. That convener of that definition of unmet need and the prioritization of the unmet need in each country needs to be driven by the country's leadership. We, as Ambassador Dybul said a moment ago in the meeting, there's no way that we can not have these resources be additive without that convening leadership. So I'm very gratified that we seem to be looking at that now in a different way than we were before, and I hope the meeting amplifies it.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for your time, and interested listeners can find the video from today's PEPFAR event at smartglobalhealth.org. Thank you again.
Pleasure.